call the roll. Member Graham, Member Walfelt, Member Chapunkar, Member Brangle, Member Lowe's, Member Preston, and Chairman Brown.
Present.
We have a quorum. Is there any public comment? I know it looks like somebody is attending remotely. Would you like to address the commission? Okay. Well, thank you for attending. No other public comment. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of October 2nd? Or any discussion or changes?
I'll move to approve the minutes. All in favor? Okay. Item number 4. Discussion regarding the TIP Small Business Incentive Program. Any updates there, Matt? Or
so I, Jessica had worked to include some of the comments from the meeting last month, so I shared a draft with the packet.
Just to, for the facade improvement program.
Exactly right.
Over.
Yeah. Yes. So if there's any comments now, or if you want to review it and share those, I think the what the next steps, as I see it, would be to kind of introduce the if once the commission is in agreement that it's worth recommending, or if there's any further tweaks, we'll have a kind of workshop with the village board for them to have some feedback and see if there's any other questions or input that they would like from the commission, and then eventually adopt it moving forward for 2025.
I read it. It looked really good. You know, obviously, what's missing is kind of financial. Yeah.
Right.
Is there any expectation on us as a committee to suggest that, or is that really something that?
I think a little bit of both. I think that the general amount of what would be budgeted would certainly be part of the budgetary process with the village board, but I think an understanding of what the a typical individual award would be, I think would be within the purview here. I mean, micro grants of there's two ways to look at it. We've got the full potential bucket of these. We've discussed that there's not that many businesses and properties in the corridor, so it can only so many participants that would come, and we can navigate that as funds are available. So I think that it could be kind of a placeholder in the budget for potential improvement grants that can be, depending on what the interest is. I think that we do have some flexibility in our both TIF funds right now, because in the absence of a dedicated project in those at this juncture.
They're 100% funded by the TIF funds?
That would be the intent here. Yes.
So I guess we don't know how much allocated or part of the TIF funds.
Right.
So
yeah, we're also some context, you know, like yeah, what other communities have put in place. I mean, I think I believe what I saw the bill cap.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, the other question I have,
the cap on individual or a cap on total funds? We should probably
and then also
cap on
under the individual under the evaluation section talked about we're making a priority. And so are certain projects going to be prioritized over others? Is it first come, first serve? You know, the time level, just all that we can, because I know we'll get to all that. But
yeah,
there was some prioritization.
Yeah, but I would go back. The fundamental point of the TIF is probably beyond facade improvements, right? So that's to facilitate other infrastructure or whatever it may be, or even you know expenses to projects,
right?
That could be TIF eligible. So that's still primary, I would think. This is a means to also provide beautification. And, you know, so I think that's, we talked about this a little bit last time, but is there a cap or no more than a certain percentage of the TIF increment or annual increment, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. that, you know, otherwise you don't want to, again, we don't have the kind of retail or whatnot. I don't think we have enough businesses to probably
to really test that,
to test it off, to take it, you know, to use up all the TIF, but we clearly want to make sure we're not overreaching with this,
yep.
at the expense of sort of the bigger goal of attracting development. This will do it. Don't get me wrong. This is all accruing to that, but it's
two right. months have expiration paper.
Correct. So the years. Life of a TIF district is 23 years. Yeah. It can be extended, but okay. or, yeah, not at this time. So
well, 20 years from now or whatever it is, whatever
it
we're at,
will be right. Correct. Yes. And there's periods in the life of the TIF where surplus will need to go back to the school districts as well. So for this discussion, like the Madison Street TIF district, there's a little over $1.2 million in the TIF fund right now, just for sake of context. As Commissioner Brangle mentioned, a lot of that, the vision for that funds would be to facilitate development on the village owned mm-hmm. property or any infrastructure that might go along with that. So I think maybe in a first year project, something like a $50,000 pool for each of the TIF districts and kind of see what mm-hmm. what comes of that.
So $50,000 pool in totality for that district for 1 year or per project?
Because that's up for
yeah. And then the other thing is this something that could be perhaps whatever we figure out reviewable in a year based on what we've seen this?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think that I'd feel better making the decision knowing that we could look at it in a year, or the committee could, or the trustees,
or even
could.
You have the ability to increase the amount.
Mm-hmm.
Think, yeah. You know, provided funds are available, there's need. Blah, blah. I mean, there's a lot of. I think you put language in there that. It's probably good to start at something that's what, 5 projects of 10,000 or whatever, you know, you slice and dice it, but at least you got something in there.
Yeah, I agree.
And then if you get overwhelming yep. demand and we feel it's warranted, I mean, it's really up to you. If it's warranted, you could always expand it.
Right. And I think if there was a appealing enough project that was a bigger ask, then, you know, certainly with the approval process, if the board views it as a.
We got to be careful with being discretionary with stuff like this, though.
That's right.
I mean, it's got to be the same. In my mind, it should be the same rules have to apply for 1 year, whatever we come up with.
Well, I think. To give some context, I think, and this is a long time. This is 1995 in Oak Park, but we were given a grant that was up to half of what the project was, which we used for signage. And I believe the cap was $3,000. And, you know, it's not like that made or broke our project, but at the same time, it was great to have. Yeah.
Didn't hurt.
It was wonderful.
And it improved the facade. And
we
could do is
that would change the colors a little bit.
Cap based on the project, cap for the first year.
Yep.
First come, first serve.
Yep.
You know, renew or reevaluate the year or the money that's out.
But do you have a cap for project?
Yeah.
Okay, this way.
Right. I mean, I think you have a cap for both. Because we don't know. We have an idea, but we can look to other communities. But
I doubt we're at much risk. And either way, we're just recommending to the trustees. Yeah. But maybe a $5,000.
And again, with the ability, I think this allows you, if it comes in at 7, or you know, you have the ability to appeal.
So I mean, when we say $5,000, so we're looking at, I mean, if they were to do half, $10,000 job.
I don't think this was half the way it was written, right? It was just.
Oh, it was a percentage.
I thought it was just you provide your.
It wasn't a match.
Yeah, you just provide your receipts and everything, and then it's capped. So, you know, in theory, you could, if it was $5,000, I believe that's the way it read.
I thought.
Yeah.
Chairman Brown, this is Robert Graham. Could you ask all the members to please use the microphone since I'm not available, and I was there for the roll call, but I was muted. So please use the microphones.
You bet.
Got it on.
Thank you.
So, yeah, you're right. It doesn't have a percentage. So they would do, we could in theory do. All right. Are people in general okay with it? I sort of like them. So I guess
skin in the game.
I could probably argue both ways if we wanted to, right? I mean, you could say it's nice to have skin in the game. That they're going to spend some money on it. I think people are more cautious with their money when some of it's theirs. At the same time, you could see someone not being able to do anything, but if they can't do anything, if they can't do $2,500, maybe they shouldn't be opening up a business and putting up a facade. I worry that if you don't have some sort of matching program, that it would be, they're just going to spend the money on it. Everyone will do it.
Yeah.
I think in our initial discussion, our discussion last meeting, didn't we suggest it would be a half?
Or some kind of match?
I just think people would take advantage of a situation. I mean, people who wouldn't do it. There might not even be a need there, but heck, I'll do it because it's free.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good governor on it. I mean, if we all agree, maybe just make that suggestion from us as the commission that we'd like it to be, half of what the property owner or
not to split hairs.
Villagers share $5,000 if they want to spend
right.
money.
We'd right.
be in for $5,000.
Yep.
Not to split hairs, but the cap or the matches for that specific project, or could it be improvements site-wide? They're putting $10,000 in the area.
Non-eligible stuff.
Well, I think, and you're asking for signage. Could that count towards a match?
I think signage is in there.
I think it has to be.
No, I'm saying they want to do signage.
I understand. Yeah.
Is it half of the signage
right.
costs, or can they apply $10,000 of interior improvements as a match to
the facade?
Interior okay, so specific to the project.
It has to be eligible, okay. one half of eligible yeah. costs associated with the project,
Agreed.
Right? I mean, because otherwise,
yeah,
again,
no,
it's free.
Do
if you're already doing improvements, well, I'll just throw the $5,000.
Well, it's incentivizing. The whole thing is to bring up
sure.
the district.
But,
right?
but I would, to address it, Tim, I think if you look, there were some exclusions, and I believe interior improvements were an exclusion. But if you were to come with
these funds.
Yeah, but if you were to come with a package and say, I'm proposing a facade improvement package, which includes painting and signage. And I'm going to spend $8,000 and I'm submitting an application for $4,000 of that reimbursement. I mean, that's it's not limited to just the sign, but to me that would be something. And there's some,
but it's still eligible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just has to be eligible because, again, I think otherwise you're giving free money. If someone's doing interior work, but they're saying, hey, that River Forest, while you're out here, River Forest for free will spend $5,000 on tuck pointing or whatever it is.
Agreed.
You know, it just, then you would just
do lots of grant writing and you can get very creative.
Yeah.
So you're applying all kinds of funds to it, which actually help, but it's actually compelling them to invest money in the property, which is ultimately what we do want to raise
Right.
the values and the attractiveness and the leasability.
But
and so all of these things go towards that. But I agree. Let's keep it.
But spend money.
And I think
that's why I said I was splitting hairs.
Spend money correctly. You know what I mean? Like judiciously. When people have their own money, they as part of the project, they seem to spend money. They care a little bit more whatever that cost comes in. And it's not just their money. It's everyone's. It's it's the whole community. You know.
Agrees.
Yeah. And so that was one takeaway. Sounds like we kind of fell on 50,000 cap, 5,000 project.
Mm-hmm.
Or reimbursement amount. So the project.
Right.
Could be
I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Right.
Sure.
For year one.
Mm-hmm. Reviewable annually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or when the money runs out. So if the.
Yeah.
Right.
And can you apply for multiple?
That was the other question.
Per year.
And I didn't. I was just looking for that, and I didn't.
Need to specify.
Is it based on the address, the PIN number? If I got a retail space, the argument we made last time. Anyone have a strong opinion about that? I'm inclined to think PIN.
Well, go ahead.
My opinion, is once per year. Yeah, and I think once per pen is a good way to do that.
What if I'm I own a strip mall, for instance? Again, right. we just have to think about these things because they might occur. But four different pens, one owner. I'm leasing for four different people, four different businesses. Can I apply four different times? Is that four different projects? It's probably one LLC that holds title to the building. So do we do it per Weagle, corporation, partnership, whatever it might be? One per year? Does that make sense? If you own a building, it's under one legal entity. I'm inclined to think one legal entity, max one legal entity, max, but one pin each. You kind of, under that scenario, you wouldn't be able to get 20,000 for unit strip mall. But I could argue the other position too. if you have four different businesses that want to go in there and they're all looking for some facade work.
A little bit of a related question, but could tenants apply as opposed to landlords? So that's the other thing.
Yeah, I just thought through Kyler's example. If you had one PIN number, you had one, literally, take a easy freestanding building where the owner says, boy, I want to really clean up this tuck pointing, painting, and applies, does that. Now it's a much more attractive building. It leases, that attracts a tenant. The tenant comes in and says, boy, could I apply? I'd like my sign covered. So, that's one.
And we kind of want to do that for them.
Yeah,
right?
We do. That's the whole idea.
Right.
So,
legal entity per year. Is that going to solve it? Usually,
one business entity per year makes the most sense. It eliminates abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to agree too. I mean, chances are if you own a bunch of different properties, you have them under some different LLCs. I mean, you're not going to have, it'd be really weird to have different multiple properties held by the same corporation.
So if the land owner applied, the tenant could not apply.
No, they could. They could.
Separate business entity.
Yeah.
Separate businesses. Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and good on them if they figure that one out. You know what I mean? I guess.
Because they could have different projects.
Yeah, right? They absolutely could.
Tied directly to the business and want to facilitate usage.
Honestly, if they spend the money on their side to bring in the tenant or some whatever it is they do, maybe they're even in tandem. They might even say, and they get 10,000 and 5,000 for one, 5,000 for the other, but they're also putting in 10,000. Now we got a $20,000 project. I think I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Which is also why the match is even more important.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not free money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so
I think all this is subject to availability of funds, right? It's understood. Yeah. But I think even the 50,000 is subject to availability of funds. You may get a big project, playing it out.
Right. I agree.
Massive project that wants to reduce sewers and blah, 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 whatever, site acquisition, remediation. And it could go and you may prioritize that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it'll be good to have a disclaimer on the program.
I think
too.
You have to make a commitment of a dollar amount that we're willing to spend.
This first year?
Yeah, that we're carving out.
I mean, I think you do.
Right? You're earmarking.
So what are we, then that's more of a question for some of the trustees perhaps as well, but explain to me a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, because it's been a minute, how the inflows and outflows of cash from this particular TIF come about. What are the inflows? What are the outflows?
Sure. So the inflows are the twice a year we'll get, generally twice a year we'll get the increment dropped from through the county to the village. There's a couple payments throughout the year based on when people are paying, but largely because of the two yearly property tax bills is when the bulk of the money will come in.
And what does that look like? Do we have an idea of what that number amount is? Is that public?
It is. I would be able to
varies and hopefully escalating.
Yeah, but you understand why I'm asking, right?
to figure out if we're figuring out what our allowable expenses are, it'd be good to know what the inflows and outflows are to see what kind of.
I mean, we know the base. I don't know what the base was. 120, whatever it was when we set the cap. So all that is everything above that tax is increment that accrues to the TIF. So we would know generally. But that value can go up and down, right? So never guaranteed, but we should know.
Well, if we have $1.2 million
in appreciation.
There, right? I mean, actual dollars in a bank. And then we get 50,000?
We have said. We said 50.
Like, no, but I mean, we get 50,000 from the.
You're asking what the TIF is, the increment is annually.
Yeah. Well, what's
the projected increment?
Yeah. What's the. Yeah, I guess the cash flow of it. I'm a banker. I'm silly when it comes to this, but
I'm in the budget. What am I in? The budget. So fiscal year 24, the budget was 1.5 million. Fiscal year 2024 projected was 1.7 million.
Okay.
Fiscal year 2025 budget is 2.2 million just for Madison.
What's budget?
It's not loading.
Right.
So we're looking at a net income of 200,000 and change.
Budget means what you project projections,
and that's on a balance sheet, right?
Yes, it's a project.
This is in the
fund.
So that's assuming.
So, for fiscal year 25, which is May of 24 through April 25, we project $600,000 in property taxes for the Madison Street TIF district to come in.
Okay. In increment.
Correct.
Yeah.
In the outflow on that is
nothing there expenses right now, right?
I mean, some expenses associated.
Nothing, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right. So I'll go back to my mic. So
you see where I'm going with that? Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if it's a depreciating dollar amount that we're going to be having, but it sounds like it's appreciating. We want it to continue to appreciate so we can do these bigger projects down the road. But if we're assuming 200 and 400,000 going from 1.5 to 1.7 to 2.2, whatever that is, so we're assuming pretty good cash flow for this TIF over the next couple of years. I think we should be pretty comfortable doing $50,000.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted to know that. I just want to make sure. I mean, are we biting our,
we don't have
our face sort of.
We don't have anything in terms of the outflows. Most of that is consultants for any potential analysis from urban planning or tax analysis or anything like that. If there were to be a project that come forward, we'd have to do a budget amendment and things like that. So a fund like that is really there to build up
a crew
until we choose a need.
Yeah.
So that's why it's has that much of a balance. Just keeps going.
We're making a recommendation.
I was going to say the trustees have to approve it.
$1,000.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
So totally. But I think it helps to know that we're running at a surplus, a pretty hefty one there to do that. And that's interesting to know.
And is that the balance of the process, Matt? So we'll make a recommendation to the board and the board will approve it and then kind of roll it out.
Exactly. Right. And what we've seen lately is to give the board kind of more flexibility to input or questions like, oh, did the commission consider this or that? And something that maybe we just and think they'll kind of discuss it without having the pressure of a decision action item and then kind of kick it back to the commission to review those types of things and then come back so that it's kind of converging both bodies' opinions on it.
One other thing I don't think I saw. They can only do it once per year? Or can they do it year after year? Maybe once every 3 years, something like that. I didn't see any. At this point, they could come back the next year. Now, if they have a project where they're going to put half the money in, I don't have a problem with them spending the money, to be honest with you, but they're doing it every year. Again, it's all reviewable next year, and we're just making.
I don't.
It's once per year. Hopefully, there'll be enough people where we get to use the money for multiple projects, and if we don't after the first year, then we can reevaluate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think beyond that would be surprising. I don't think we're not going to see someone coming in and replacing their sign each year.
I would. I mean, if it's free money, and I had to do work,
it's not free money.
I think you.
But if you were going to spend,
maybe it's one
repeat applicants are subject to the review of discretion. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and you just say, all right, you did a sign and now you're painting, you know, repeat applicants, annual applicants are.
It's fair. I'm just bringing it up.
No, no, it's good. Otherwise.
You don't know. I mean, that's the question I'd have under the trustee.
There is some, I mean, clearly there's some subjectivity in as this is written for the review and approval process. That specific question about, you know, applying, you know, not once per year, but once each year is not addressed. But I don't know that we'd have to address it and just let the approval program deal with that.
About using approximate 50,000 per year based upon the cash flow reserves of the TIF annually?
Yeah, I think that's where we're landing. Yeah. You emphasize the word approximate. Was there?
Yes, because that gives everybody flexibility to say more or less.
But I think we're only making an annual commitment.
If we make just a one-year commitment, I don't know that we have to even set that. But it's a good thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could easily say something to the effect of first year estimated cap to be $50,000. Doesn't bind you to it, but you could certainly look it back at it and say, oh, yeah, this is. I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole. I do like these discussions.
There's a thousand iterations, but it's good to talk it through.
But I think you're right. The subjectivity of the actual application allows you to sort of capture some of that.
Yes.
I had two text edits that hopefully are easy. In ineligible projects, it says painting masonry that was not previously painted. Can we also paint things that haven't been painted before that are ugly and need painting?
You don't want anybody painting masonry.
If you have ugly yellow bricks and you want to paint them,
there's some age old debate. Can you paint bricks?
Maybe there's some suggestions that we could then.
It's funny. I saw that and I didn't quite understand it myself, but I literally thought, oh, there's got to be some argument for it. I probably want to hear it.
I think it's basically saying we don't want you to paint masonry. That's how I read that. We don't want you painting brick.
But we do.
But again, that's a subjective thing. It's like, I don't like painted masonry, and then you got to maintain you do that.
I'm guessing blah, 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 that too, so because it's a bad idea to
somebody paint masonry. And my hunch is these probably were pulled from other, right?
Yeah
we can
see where we...
It's kind of a subjective thing.
Well, that's what I would strike it, and then on a case-by-case basis.
I would... Well, here's what I think, and because we had this conversation, I remember, afterwards, and I think it's good to bring it up, which you had said, I like planters.
Yeah.
And I said, it doesn't prevent the person from putting in planters. They just get the grant for something else.
Right.
This isn't preventing them from painting masonry. They can still paint it, but they might have to use the money instead for their signage. Right. So
I'll take that one.
Okay.
And then
stick up for your painted masonry.
I think some brick needs to be painted. I'm going to put that out there.
Because there's no match. Then I probably would care more because I'm painting it just because I get the money.
Totally.
Now, if I'm putting in half the money, hopefully it's going to be a little bit more thoughtful to make decisions.
But yeah, because painting masonry, which if you've never done it, and I have, it doesn't last that long. No. You got to redo it. So right. I think it's fine to leave it as an exclusion.
Okay. And I'd like this to go on the record. It's tacky.
No,
I'm just messing with it. I knew that was.
I will show you a beautiful home.
I realized that was a pressure point for you.
You had another one.
It is so much better. I have another one.
I'm just kidding.
Let's see. Applications must include photographs of the existing facade and detailed renderings of the proposed improvements.
Yeah.
And I was going to say we strike detailed renderings because you may not have them, and that feels like an unnecessary burden.
I think if you're doing, you know, or detailed drawing, I wouldn't even say detailed, say drawings or explanation of improvements.
Summary,
because if you're doing a small grant, now I got to go commission some architect.
Right,
We're trying to get business.
Fees are cheap anyway, but you know they're not that cheap. Still cost something. I agree. I was going to say,
I think a good idea.
Summary of project.
If it's a major project, description. And you want to see it? Yeah, got
to go adaptable to explain the project or something.
Yeah.
So when that I was paint my masonry, something. I'm not going to like
photograph. Oh no, you better come up with some detail. You're painting.
There was
project. No one's going to give you plans for that.
I won't go through all these, but I'll send some minor.
Please do.
But there's things like there's frontage We're talking about frontage because there's some terms here. Front. We don't have definitions. We don't need them. But frontage is really primary frontage, right? It's like you're not. Are we going to say you go around the back and you? Some of these don't specify.
Sure. Okay.
So I think we could tighten some of that. Just is this a PDF or is this a Word? I'll give you some red lines if you want.
I can send a Word document.
That'd be great. Out.
Yep.
I don't know what restoration of brink using a non-abrasive paint removal material. I suspect it's brick and paint removal, but this goes back to.
Yeah.
And then sandblasting brick is not allowed. So again, somebody's got something going with brick here.
I would caution maybe in this case less is more here.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to get too specific on these. I don't know. That's my opinion.
There's
a subjective, you know, nature. I don't know.
It could be higher level. It's general facade improvements and things like that. So I think maybe you could streamline some of these. I think this is probably picked from a laundry list of things.
Yeah.
Fine. It's a good place to start. The only one, and again, maybe we talked about this, program eligibility, restoration of historic interior architectural features, including ceilings, light fixtures, floors, and architectural detailing.
You said no interior.
I thought we cut that, but it's in here. So that could be big dollars, and that's not really a facade improvement.
It doesn't matter how many dollars it is. It's still capped, but...
But that's interior. I like the idea. Like, oh, we're going to, and this is again, now this is a preservationist who wrote that.
No, I totally agree. I think that, you know, these interior floors and things, because I thought there was also did it say something, if only improvements visible from the exterior?
Yes, there's visible. Yeah. Yeah. There's also accessibility improvements for handicapped persons. Again, exterior. And, you know, there's little things like that.
That just seems conflicting. I agree. Yeah, you should. Tighten that up.
Yep.
Although I love that brink improvement because, you know, if your brink needs improved, you improve it.
But the pain removal is not allowed.
Yeah.
Abrasive pain removal.
Yeah. That's,
anyway.
No, but these are all good. It just takes a few eyes looking this over to pick up stuff like that
I'm going to add one to evaluation. I think improve the overall aesthetic is important to the property and the district. Incorporate energy efficient or sustainable. I think that's okay, but I would put in between there improve leasability and attraction. Like, these are what we're driving at. I'll add goals. That. So
yeah, okay.
I want to make sure we're hitting the high level ones. And then, yeah, hey, if you hit, you know, if you get energy efficiency, you improve accessibility, all those again are important, but let's hit the primary ones. Anyway, that's it. The last thing on me, since I got the floor. The percentage of award that must be refunded at certain points. I think if somebody leaves within a year, well, this is removal or modification. Who's going to do that? But, or if the business isn't in operation, you're going to ding them for 100% if they leave within a year. I just, you know, to your point last time, Wally, like there's still value in what they've done, assuming they haven't removed it. So I don't know if you want to lessen that award or the percentage down to, you know, 75%. 50%, 25%, and minor, but
with it being matching now too, I think that can be
revisited. I mean,
right.
Continue to go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because can't landlords do it before they rent out their facility? So there may not be a business there to leave.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then they might have some changes that need to occur once a new business owner comes in there. But you know what I mean? Like, I
think the assumption is that there's
the matching. I'm
calling. Yeah.
Are you talking about taking out the default?
What will be the scenario? Let's work down the scenario where we think it would be applicable.
Well, I think your most likely thing that's going to happen. I mean, sad to say, someone's going to go out of business.
Well, right.
You're not going to recover. Yeah. Right. So
that's what I'm trying to figure out where we'd go at. Go after them.
We think this was pulled from other examples,
totally.
I believe. And
it may not have the match.
Yeah.
I think the ability to collect a $5,000 or $10,000 improvement from a business that moves out or decides to change whatever isn't worth the effort to try to collect.
That's true.
You're just throwing the money.
Yeah.
I mean, so you can have an endless discussion about this. You're really working on good faith. Participation and the ability to collect is a minor concern because it functionally a waste of time.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yep.
Okay.
No. Yeah, I would agree. I'm the removal or modification of what was approved, that might be, I'm not sure what that would really look like, but that might be worth
it. You put up a sign, you take it, you put it up somewhere else. Kidding. All right. Moving on.
It's a good point.
Okay.
Let's shame him on the Facebook page.
Right.
So next steps there would be, Tim, you're going
to... I'll send you a couple other edits.
All right.
Just tighten it up a little bit.
I think with some of those edits, we'll send it out for everyone's review and any additional comments or questions.
And you have the others, right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't take notes on all.
And then this would go to the board.
Yeah, we've got it recorded.
Or the trustees. Whatever. Hopefully. When is their next meeting?
The 18th of November.
So probably December.
Probably December.
Okay.
The agendas.
Yeah, really pushing ourselves.
I mean, I'm being honest. He's not going to do this for the next couple weeks.
I will do this. Send me a Word doc. Nine p.m.
All right. Then I think you should get in there for November.
There we go.
Goal. Fine with me. Let's
yeah.
Do it.
See,
it was eight. Go. She'd be done before the end of the meeting.
So easy. I think it's a really good program. I think it's great that we're doing it. I think it's money. I think it's super smart. And I'm glad it was this commission's idea alone and no one else's. Moving on. Number five, continued discussion regarding business community retention, support strategies, and communication. Obviously, this is a big part of that. One of the other things I know we are doing is the parade, which is coming along, part of the Memorial Day parade. It's on Veterans Day. That's Monday. Any other things? I mean, I think these are actually two really great things that we've done in the last 6 months concerning this issue. So I'm pleased with, for my part, the commission's responsiveness to this one. I think it's so difficult, especially coming out of COVID, especially because we're a small community. We don't have a ton of retail. It's like, how do you really build all this? But I think being able to utilize some of Oak Park's resources and is advantageous. And rambling at this point, I mean, it looks like the Village Center, I mean, they're almost completely full now, right? The J. Crew outlet. That was,
Yeah, that was,
J. Crew outlet that's a good get. And we have the new, Cava. What's the name of the
Cava?
Cava. Yeah. Pretty good.
Been to both.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was impressed with the outlets. I'll be honest with you.
I'll share. I did call because, the J. Crew folks to ask about performance. It is beating expectations.
Is that
excellent?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When is Whole Food expansion expected to be completed?
So the demolition of the Rally House unit has begun, but they have still not submitted their full permit set for expansion. So I don't have a.
But they got to be already leasing that, right? I mean,
I would believe.
Well, maybe not. Maybe they're doing. They have to be, right? Wouldn't you be under lease before you start doing TI there, regardless of who was paying for it?
Under lease.
Yeah, would the
I would guess that
it's already done. That,
yeah,
yeah, so that's good. I mean, is that 100% occupancy for? I can't think of a vacancy there, and those are pretty quality occupancies. I bring this up only to say, I mean, look, it's a troubling time for retail. You can look just across the street of Harlem and see that there's a lot of vacancies there. You know, this is out of kind of this committee's purview, but it's good to see, you know, I mean, how is retail across? I mean,
actually vacancies at all time lows.
Are they right? Is
and,
that right?
And new development is also not expected. I mean, 26, 27 look horrible. There's just nothing in the queue. Interest rates. Are,
right, you know, right, right, right.
So no, rental
whatever
rates
you
going
got
up.
What you got?
And I mean, yeah.
That's really great. That's not the story you always hear on Chicago.
No, and that's probably what helped Jake for going to that space.
I mean, yeah.
Because they're down to fewer and fewer options.
Yeah. I need a Nordstrom rack.
Well, I'll do my best.
A guy can dream.
Tell me about the facade improvement program.
Hey.
It's called tomorrow morning.
Well, you know, going back to that, well, we could talk about this later, but it's curious how we're going to communicate that. We could shelve that for another date. You know, do we reach out to some of the different owners and whatnot? Let them know it's available. Do we, you know, that's, we could talk about that later. Any other items under five that you could think of? If,
I don't have any.
Okay. General development updates. And also there's a couple other items that I we want to discuss. One being update on the brokers and another one for executive session. But the general development updates.
Sure. So we touched on some of the new tenants over at the Town Center. We have Black Fodder Coffee is taking over the space over at Ashland and Hawthorne. That was where Hub Kitchen and the old
Scratch guy.
Right. This was a catering coffee company that's opening up a coffee shop there at that site. So we're excited about that. That'll be probably sometime in the spring.
Is this their first coffee?
This will be their first brick and mortar operation. Yeah, they have they do catering for weddings and special events and stuff like that.
When is that opening?
Probably in the spring.
Okay.
Yeah, their permits were issued probably within the last month or so.
Good facade program possibility. I mean, that's what you would envision, right? You know, them going in there needing a new sign, something like that, spice it up.
Aren't they? They're not in that. Wouldn't they be not in the zone?
Sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Point.
Well, you know, maybe
paint the brick on their own.
Yeah. What? Well, maybe if the TIF program works, it's something that makes sense more broadly. General development updates, anything? Lake and Lathrop,
so
Madison.
Lake and Lathrop, we're still no real substantive updates on that. Still kind of mired in a couple different court cases at the moment. The village is taken some steps to motivate the parties to try and find a resolution because we're well over a year now since the permits expired. So the village is taking steps that will be public soon that have been taken legally to motivate those parties to kind of listen to the village being negatively affected by this too. And we want to see it develop. This isn't acceptable. So more to come on that soon.
We're going to publish that on the website.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Correct. Cause it is out of date.
What was that? Cause it,
yeah. What's the last date on
the
there?
First thing, when you go to the Lake and Lathrop page, it says on September 15th, the village sent out, and that's September 15th, 2023. And then that's really the main thing. And then there's like some typos in here that you could adjust. I'll read, if you want me to redline, I will. Right now.
Well, that's good. typos and dates aside, it's, feel it's good that the village is trying to be as proactive as possible. At least throw their hat in the ring.
And a part of that has been the Lake and Lathrop Partners applied for a building permit. We may have covered this last time I was here. They applied for a building permit, kind of acting like none of the other things had transpired over the past year or so. We informed that we would not be issuing a building permit because of the violation of the redevelopment agreement and the expiration of the plan development permit. And they filed a complaint to try and force us to issue that permit. So that is, we're have a motion to dismiss that lawsuit currently.
Lawyers are awesome.
Yeah, I learned a lot about the court system here. Then the neighborhood dialogues we were talking about a little bit before we started, we have had five conversations thus far. We've had a little over 50 residents participate in the conversations. I've been very excited about the feedback and the conversations so far. We have one more confirmed later this month, and we're trying to get a total of 8 completed. And what will come from that is a report kind of summarizing all the different conversations and what the different perspectives were from all the residents that were involved. The intent is that in order to get an accurate conversation and have people comfortable sharing, those will be anonymous. They won't be attributed to specific participants. And as part of that report, the firm that's kind of helping us with that is going to make recommendations about communicating future development. So we've had recap calls after each one, and some of the stuff that we've talked about, you know, some lessons learned from the zoning discussion earlier this year. I think trying to be creative about different open houses or different workshops to try and educate residents about what the market will bear, what kind of trends are out there development wise, housing wise, whatever it is, to you know, try and build a consensus or at least address some of the concerns or criticism that the village received about the zoning process. And that's been, you know, already kind of intuitively knew that based on that experience, but part of these conversations with residents have not just been about like, what would you like to see in town, but more like, how do you want to be informed? How do you want to be involved? What would you mm-hmm. expect from us? Which has been some of the more helpful pieces of it. You know, a lot of residents be like, you know, we might not agree with it, but I'm willing to be convinced or willing to be, to learn more. I'm not just saying no to say no. We just want to hear what folks have to say, whether it's development and things like that. So I think that's going to be a big, you know, charge or assignment for the commission to kind of take on, because I think using these meetings or having the commission host those types of meetings, I think makes a lot of sense. I know for the zoning, we had, you know, public meetings and discussions about those with John Hauziel and the team going over that. But I think looking back, relying on just a simple public commission meeting to get feedback may have come a little short. So advertising those as smaller targeted meetings, which have been really productive in this case, or open houses where it's a presentation from different experts in the field where people can ask questions and it's not tied to a specific proposal for development or a actual text amendment that's up for a vote, kind of takes the turns the heat down a little bit on it and allows more constructive conversation. So that's how I see this next kind of phase going.
So I have a couple of questions and the comment. You know, one of the things that did sort of sit uneasy with myself, at least, and I don't want to speak for anyone else in the committee, and, you know, is we did work a long time on this. We did have a lot of information behind it. We spent quite, you know, I want to say a year and a half working with Households Group. A lot went into it. There was a thought put into it, and it didn't seem that there's as much contemplation on the zoning committee's part as well when it was presented. Or, you know, I know it's for us to bring it up to them. You know, maybe even communication between our committee and the zoning committee would have been another lesson learned there, because I feel like, you know, this committee was sort of left out to dry with the recommendation, which it is what it is. But It is a zoning issue as well. I mean, I get it starts here. So also when we're talking about some of those future meetings and anything that's going to happen, it should happen, you know, lockstep and key with what the zoning committee's thoughts are as well. I mean, we're going to make a recommendation, but if we know that the zoning committee doesn't like that recommendation, I mean, why are we making the recommendation for? I mean, we should have some feedback from them. So that would be my task to that committee. Then about the actual meetings itself, are we, two questions, you answered one of them, but are we meeting, the first one is, are we meeting with those, what's called a louder minority of people who are, you know, against zoning? Are we reaching that group of, there's a lot of people that were against it, but there's certainly those that were louder than others. Are we reaching them? And do you feel that there's been good feedback? Are both sides hearing each other at these meetings?
That's a good question. And a good comment about the other commissions. I think that's another lesson too. If there's a specific development proposal, development review board is going to be the one that's doing the public hearing. They should be part of it too. So yeah, I think that's a good point. In terms of who's been involved, we've had a good mix of people that and they're with varying opinions on the text amendment. There's some folks who are still trying to get to agree to host that. I think have some kind of influential folks around that discussion. Unfortunately, there's been some skepticism that the meetings are being held for political motives, which I think that those that have attended have seen that as clearly not. You know, I barely talk at these meetings. I'm really there to listen. If there's questions that come up, it's not a presentation about this is going to be so great, the village is doing this and that. So I think the folks that have attended have seen that and hoping mm-hmm. to have that, because we heard at these meetings and in communications that, you know, this wasn't communicated, newsletters not enough. This is sure. a different approach to it. And meeting, you know, still open. We're going to newsletter out tomorrow. We're going to open it up again for anyone who wants to host. We'll come to your house, wherever you want to have it, and trying to put it so that there's opportunities for anyone. Even
okay.
Skeptics. So
that's fair. I don't mean to cut you off, but there's clearly a few people that have real issues with this. There's more, but there's certainly some that could be identified. Have those people have been reached out to specifically and they've said, no, they don't want to meet whatsoever or communicate? I mean, I think I'd be surprised if there wasn't some way to communicate.
There have been folks that have been asked to host that expressed interest, and we haven't been able to get a date set yet.
Okay. So we're in progress. I don't mean to, whatever. I don't, you know, I don't want to like.
Yeah. But
it just seemed
to us going in that we wanted to go into lines then, you know, we wanted to hear those that were most concerned
right.
About it because
communicate. You know, there's two sides here that are on different opposition, you know, clearly on different sides. Communication, if nothing else. You know where people stand.
Yeah, Matt, what's the format? Do the kind of consultants make a presentation or have a Q&A, or is it just kind of open up?
Really, very informal. So the consultant's kind of just a facilitator, local resident in town on the 200 block of Franklin. We'll just kind of introduce what we're here. We're here to talk about those River Forest. We specifically want to get some, you know, of your opinions on economic development at the village-owned site of Madison Street and Lake and Lathrop. And it's the format is to kind of hope that what people want to see comes organically. Just how long have you lived in town? What do you like about River Forest? What do you not like?
Okay.
You know, I like that it's quiet. I hate the all the traffic, you know, all the different things. And you can get a lot from that about what people want to see at the specific sites or just anywhere in town.
Sure.
And usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours, just kind of going around people talking. So there have been some that have become more of a Q&A, like, well, what has the village done this? Has the village done that? We'll certainly answer those questions. Like, you know, a question about well, what have the developers that have reached out, what have they seen? And I'll give kind of a general response to that, not specific to what a concept is, but enough to kind of share what the at least anecdotally what the market is seeing.
I know, and we talked that we didn't want to have commission members at the meetings because we wanted it to be but I mean, there's some of these people that we might know that they might, the question might be asked, do you want commission members? Do you want any of these people at the meeting? The only reason I say that is all of us live here, and it might be a neighbor that's there. And if they would like that, it might make more sense coming from someone who, I don't know, they might paddle with, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Raj hosted one of those. Awesome. He was more of kind of an observer. But yes, if any of you would like to host or have a friend that would be interested in hosting, by all means. And I'm not as worried about having members attend. I think it's just don't want it to turn into like the economic development you said you wanted, you know, these types of things, and it becoming that, which some of them have kind of become that more at the staff, but that's, you know.
Well, that's what I thought, that maybe, well, anyways, I don't know.
We don't want, how I view it, don't want to be necessarily defending what the village is envisioning, although
totally
gently doing that, because I generally want it to be a blank slate. If everyone we talk to wants a certain thing, I'm not, don't have too much pride to ignore that.
Totally.
And I think what we have heard, a wide range of opinions. Some folks that have been vocal in the past have attended. So I think that it is not all kind of a rubber stamp or yes man type of feedback. There's been, you know, one resident said, well, there's so many people in going to the Forest Park businesses, they're parking on our street. We should just do a parking garage at the Madison Street site and charge money there. It's a revenue generator. It doesn't, you know, anything. That's just one example. Some people, folks have been talking about it should be a rec center, whether it's private or public, things like that. A lot of folks have, you know, brought up the mixed use idea, a lot of interest in restaurants, the kind of things that we've talked about and kind of expected. And it's been good to see when folks do come with like, well, actually I think we probably need a couple stories in order to make it work. You know, people might not necessarily be an expert, but I think it's helpful in these types of settings for, you know, 12 to 15 people to see that there are these different opinions. Well, oh, my neighbor thinks that wouldn't be that bad, so maybe it isn't that bad. And I think that has been productive. So I think there's been residents that, you know what, maybe it should just be kind of a low density townhome use. Maybe that is, you know, referencing to the Promenade one over at Forest and Madison, and some others will be like, well, that seems like a missed opportunity, or people are skeptical of the potential of the Madison Street west of
right
Plains.
Yep.
Fair. Because of, you know,
we have a there.
Strip mall that's had some vacancies, has some the businesses that might not be what some residents want. So I think there's some skepticism that anything that's going to go there is going to be productive. But yeah, I think that's something to consider. But we've had an empty building there, kind of blocking off the potential to keep that momentum going. And I think that the Forest Park side of Madison Street, west of Splains, is seeing a good amount of activity with.
And we also have a comprehensive plan that sort of suggests things that not just, you know, so we're also trying to implement that. So.
Right. And that was the first question, the first comment that came up was, what's the village's vision?
Mm-hmm.
Before it, they kind of wanted to be more responsive. I'm like, well, you know, we want to hear and we're flexible to it, but there is a guiding document that's adopted by the village board. It's 5 years old at this point, but that's not that long in a comprehensive plan years. And this is what Nicole's right now, the mixed use. And these are the just consistent with the other plans that have been out there, a corridor plan and other things like that. So I think the EDC will like to see what the comes from those comments. And I think a lot of it does confirm at least a use for that site, mixed use. The size and the parking and all that, of course, is going to be a challenge for anything that goes specifically to Madison Street site. But
so generally the process, they're ongoing. You want to do 8, hopefully wrap those up by.
I'm hoping to have them done by Thanksgiving, but okay. That's coming quick. We've got leads on 3 or 4. Correct.
I think it would be helpful from the village's standpoint that you document not who had these meetings, but how many meetings occurred, because typically people feel like they're not informed. There isn't enough communication. That goes on almost every project.
Mm-hmm.
And if you document that there's been 8 or 10 or 15 of these meetings, and the village encourages this and wants this to happen, it shows that they're concerned for the citizens going, reaching out so they can understand what's going on and get their input. And then as the situation progresses in a normal course of events of development, you haven't been hiding or sneaking around or whatever, which I found over the last 20 years has always been the public's response, because public isn't as concerned about a lot of things until it kind of pops up in front of them. And then they feel like, well, you didn't tell me enough. We didn't have enough input. I think it pays to really highlight how much has happened in terms of public discourse about the projects or potential projects in that area. I have to sign off. I've got a little storm coming in where I'm at, so I have to depart the meeting, but I found it a very good meeting and look forward to the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm sure that the subcontext of it being the right move in communication is being well documented by the village, because I think it's doing the right thing, but it's also showing that you're doing the right thing, which is.
Yeah, I think that's the hope, trying to be flexible. People can't attend a 6 o'clock meeting for the EDC. You know, people have busy lives, but if we're doing, you know, different things, when it could be on the weekend, we haven't had any on the weekend. We've had some similar different meetings on the weekend. Just trying to meet people where they are.
And I think there are so many amazingly intelligent people that live in River Forest that are going to have good ideas. And I think it's nice that we're listening to them. I think we could get some really good ones out of that. I think it's also important to kind of bring reality to the financial situation of who would buy it, things of that nature, what would make economic sense. And hopefully we can find something in the middle. I don't think it needs to be the highest and best use for the brokerage in the sense where he makes the most money. I mean, I think it's got to be the right job for that works with us. So I think it's great you're doing this.
And I think you got,
are we asking about a specific property? These meetings are
pretty centered around
Madison. Yeah, right? Madison, Lake and Lathrop does come up for you to get some feedback, but that's really correct.
I think you got to go back to our charge. It wasn't to write the zoning, right? But it wasn't to write the zoning. It was to help facilitate that with an economic lens, right? It was to say, what are the current constraints to economic development? What are the limited assets that we have that we could put to good use to help spur economic development and tax base? And that was our charge.
Totally.
And we went through it, that exercise with John and others. And yeah, it was fairly exhaustive, but our lens was always on what are the things that we're constantly having to go back and change.
Yep.
And within reason, I think we got there, and our recommendation was to the zoning board to take this and now, you know, codify it as the zoning. And we also said, take into consideration the public comment. Now that you know, again, so I actually, I go back to the initial comment that that dialogue between us is probably not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, what, how do we get there? And what, from our lens, here's what it is. And now how do you translate it into zoning with the body of input that you're getting and have gotten? So that, that was in my mind, the process. And I don't know it, it, you know, it went in as fully baked and we're like, well, no, it's not.
Yeah. This it's a really good
continuation of a process. From our lens, these are the recommendations.
And that's what I said when I talked to them. This is why we're recommending it economically.
But that exchange with zoning and
should take place.
You know, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
You
know, it's probably against the law for us to meet with them.
I know.
It can be. You can have joint meetings of different committees as long as we post it properly.
My only comment, I think, to echo what Tim said, I thought it was a very well thought out process. Mm-hmm. These are publicly open meetings. I think we did hear public comment, but lesson learned, right? When it's something that sensitive, in a village like this, based on the demographics, we learned, right? There needed to be obviously the additional steps that you're taking now. So I mean,
the Monday morning quarterback here, but that quickly became about Madison when Madison wasn't even really on our radar. I mean, it was one of the spots. It was one of four spots that we had located that we were talking about, but none of this was specific to any property. And then it quickly turned into it's specific about that property, which it's like, wait a sec, we've been working on this for. We might have even been working on that before we took down Lutheran.
But I think to just confirm, weren't there also questions about what might go on North Evans?
There were, but I'd say most was, of the.
Yeah, not the majority, but I thought there were. And I say that because I live over there and I have neighbors that were concerned.
But it was most of the. That would have not been an issue. I mean, 99% of it was the worry of one specific. Anyways.
And there are a lot of concern, like. Especially North Avenue, a lot of concerns about traffic and the like up there that around the same time that made that sensitive as well.
Yep.
So just kind of a.
It's only a mistake if you don't learn from it. That's what I tell my kids, right? You know, find the lesson. I think we did. So that's good. I mean, I think it's whenever something happens, it's good that we circle back and review it and see what we could do better next time. So that's what we're doing. And I think it's great. Those meetings sound great. Again, if there is a need for one of us, at them, let us know if that helps in any way. I think, I don't know if it will, but there it is. General development updates, that's where we are. Other business, got some other business. Just curious. Well, before we get to this, curious, can you let us know where we are with the decision of hiring a broker?
Oh, sure.
In that process?
Yeah. So the delay on that's been kind of related to the neighborhood dialogues, trying to wrap that kind of phase of input up before fully engaging with that broker. Cause I think that part of that next step of public engagement on what the direction is will be passed to that broker. And we have communicated that to the parties that were.
So do all three parties know where they sit in the process?
Yes.
Meaning you've chosen one. Did the other two know?
We have.
I mean, it's been
not explicitly said it to keep.
Yeah. Again, I don't always know what can be said and what not said until something happens. But I mean, I think that should be something that I understand the need to do the meetings. And I know how much you guys have, so I'm not. You're doing everything. It's a lot, but I think. Working with the broker should be a priority as far as this commission's concerned and getting that going. I mean, I don't want to speak. I'll say from my vantage point that should continue to be a priority and that it's really just saying yes to someone, no to the other two, whatever proper approvals need to take place. I understand that in starting that process because the sooner they're a part of these conversations, maybe they're even a part of these conversations. You know what I mean? Like the sooner we do that, I think, in my mind, the better.
Sure.
But thoughts?
Agree. Totally agree.
I think there's still a level of negotiation left because there were apples and oranges in terms of
fees,
fee structures and all that kind of stuff. So I think that was something I don't, again, I guess leave that to you.
But whatever that,
like, but that yeah. There was a, you know, those are,
yeah.
Prior to hiring anything, you got to figure those things out. Expectations. There's
100%
of that has to be done.
But then start that. Yeah, 100%. There's a process involved. Might as well.
Again,
start
I want to be clear. We're making a recommendation to pursue that negotiation.
Understood. Yeah.
Not to sign off because I think there's things in there that you got to figure out.
That's a good point. Yeah, very good point. Other business. There is a. You want me to read this or?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I move to go into executive session to discuss the purchase of a lease of real property, easy for me to say, for the use of the village, including whether a particular parcel should be acquired, and the Economic Development Commission's will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session. So
is there a second?
Second. Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
And then before we fully adjourn, just for the record of the minutes, this will be a discussion just among the commission itself. There will be no action taken tonight on anything discussed in executive session, and the commission will adjourn at the close of executive session.